Okay. I'm going to declare that it's 10 o'clock, and I'm going to start this hearing this morning with a reading of the Notice of Investigative Hearing. State of New Hampshire Department of State Bureau of Securities Regulation. Upon the request of the Director of the Bureau of Securities Regulation pursuant to the authority set forth in RSA 421B22IA through E, the Secretary of State hereby orders that a hearing be convened at 10 a.m. on October 13, 2010, and will continue from day to day as ordered by the presiding officer in room 425, State House Annex, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301, to determine A. whether under what conditions promissory notes coupled with real property or chattels are securities under the New Hampshire Securities Act. B. whether the existence of a trust or other enhancement may alter the classification. C. whether the agency handling of its part of the, quote, FRM matter by the Bureau of Securities Regulation was improper. And D, the facts concerning FRM and the interest offered by it and its affiliate corporations, so a determination may be made whether these interests come within the definition of a security under the New Hampshire Securities Act. Charles Chandler, a retired attorney at law of Warren, New Hampshire, has been appointed as presiding officer to conduct the hearing. A brief biographic sketch of Mr. Chandler is attached. The director will be in overall charge of the hearing and will be assisted by other members of the Bureau staff as needed. The hearing shall take place at the place outlined above unless the presiding officer, after notice, designates another hearing venue. The investigation for the hearing can be conducted within or without the state as determined by the director. The presiding officer will make a record of the proceeding and render findings of fact, but will not render conclusions of law. The transcript of the hearing and findings will be used by the Secretary of State and the Director of the Bureau, A, to inform the public about promissory notes coupled with mortgages generally and those instruments utilized by FRM in particular, B, to determine whether changes need to be made concerning the regulation or securities enforcement of such notes and mortgages or other enforcement matters, C, to determine whether any changes need to be made in the handling of investor complaints and the general operation of the Bureau or the registration of securities, securities professionals, the enforcement of the Securities Act, the coordination of the Bureau and other state and federal agencies, or the sharing of information by the Bureau or other agencies. D, to formulate in conjunction with a special advisory committee to be formed by the Secretary of State recommendations as to appropriate changes that the legislature should consider making in the securities or other acts as they affect the operation of the Bureau. Pursuant to RSA 421B22-2, all testimony will be received under oath or affirmation. Also pursuant to Section 421B22-2, the presiding officer shall have the power to issue both subpoenas and subpoenas duces tecum to persons within or without the state who are members of the general public, state officials, former state officials, requiring the production of any books, papers, correspondence, memorandum, agreements, or other documents or records within the Bureau of Securities deems relevant, which the presiding officer has deemed should be disclosed. The presiding officer, acting independently, may order any such books, papers, correspondence, or other documents produced as he deems appropriate. Pursuant to Section 421B22-2, in the event that a person refuses to obey a subpoena or subpoena duces tecum, the Bureau, on approval of the presiding officer, may seek enforcement of such subpoenas in Superior Court. The Superior Court shall have the authority to issue an order requiring that person refusing to testify or to produce the above items, listed items, appear before the presiding officer and testify or produce the subpoenaed documents. A person who refuses to testify or produce any of the above listed items required by the Superior Court to be given or produced may be punished by the Superior Court as contempt of court. This hearing shall be conducted pursuant to hearing procedures outlined in RSA Section 421B26A as such procedures are appropriate. Anyone wishing to present evidence at the hearing should contact Ms. Michelle Bourgeois at 603-271-1463. William N. Gardner, Secretary of State, dated October 5th, 2010. Attached to that notice are provisions of 421B and a short biography on me, the presiding officer. That concludes the reading of the notice of investigative hearing. My name is Charles Chandler. I'm a retired attorney. I live in the town of Warren. I am an independent citizen of the state of New Hampshire. I am here to conduct these hearings and make findings of fact. It is not my job today or in any day or the conclusion of the hearings to issue rulings of law. Sitting immediately in front of me to my right is Joseph Long, the director of the Bureau of Securities Regulation. And it is his enabling legislation that is permitting these investigative hearings to go forward. As indicated in the notice and elsewhere, the sole purpose for today's opening is organizational. We are not taking testimony today. Testimony is going to take place starting the day after the election on November 3rd. It is my intent to take testimony on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays throughout the month of November, possibly the month of December. I structured Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays so that in the off days of Tuesdays and Thursdays, additional work can be done, but we also have additional time of Tuesdays and Thursdays if we find that it's essential to add days during the week because of the number of witnesses we may find. We simply don't know at this point in time what our witness list looks like. For organizational purposes today, it's important to note that we are going to take into evidence three pieces of documentary evidence. In this process, there have been three reports issued. As Director Long at a press conference a week ago said, we're not going to necessarily plow old ground, but we're going to recognize the importance of what I will characterize as the Connolly Report, the report of the Office of the Attorney General, and the Office of the Joint House-Senate Committee, together with attachments and addendums. Those three documents will be brought in today. Before we get to that, I would like to simply state that my view of the process is this. After taking in today those three, let's call them foundational pieces of evidence, the structure of the hearings that I see is to open the hearings on November the 3rd, listening to the testimony of those people who have been victimized in this process, in the FRM matter. Toward that end, I am going to be asking the Bureau of Securities to send, and I believe some have been sent already, notice of hearings and invitations to every person who was an investor and people who have been listed in communications from investors as potential witnesses. I think it's critical that the state of New Hampshire listen to the victims. It's important to get their story and their side of this. And that after the introduction of these three foundational reports sets the tone, I believe, for the hearings. Every individual who has invested, every individual who has been recommended by an investor to be a witness should receive an actual notice of the investigative hearing. That I am assured by the director and counsel for the Bureau is going out. It is significant to note that the last line of the notice of investigative hearing that I read earlier has a phone number to call for anyone who wishes to be put on a witness list. Now, I understand that there are approximately 150 investors and about 17 other individuals who investors have thought might be critical for this process. It'll be significant that contact be made with the Bureau so that we can have an idea of numbers prior to November 3rd. So the earlier people call in and say, I want to be heard, is going to help us a great deal.
Before you leave that subject, I've had at least one call.
For the record, I'm going to ask you to just state your name.
Yes, I am the director of the Bureau of Securities, Joseph Long. I have had one call from a person who was not a lender, but was a borrower, and they would very much like to speak. Do you have any objection to if they come forward and want to be heard?
Absolutely none whatsoever. I mean, one of the things that needs to be understood in this process, and the statute envisions this, is that the rules of evidence do not apply. And if you remember that my job as the presiding officer is to come up with findings of fact, but not rulings of law, I am more than willing to listen to virtually anybody. And I will establish and put on whatever probative value testimony ought to bring forward. If it is of great value, then obviously I will establish it of great value. If it is of little or passing value, then that will be the case. But that's going to be my determination. I certainly have no objection, and I want people to be able to feel that they have a right to come forward. They have an opportunity here to address the state of New Hampshire through me, expressing what they have gone through, so that we have a full and complete understanding. Now, listening to the victims and the people labeled by victims is the start of the process. And we're going after that concludes, and we don't know how long that will take. After that concludes, then my assumption is going to be that we will have a production of a number of documents. The Bureau is engaged in a fairly lengthy investigative process right now. And when documents are introduced, they will be introduced by offers of proof. Some person will identify themselves, who they are, how they came to be in possession of these documents, and what these documents will mean to the process. For the people observing today, you're going to see that process in a few minutes as we introduce the reports. Subsequent to the introduction of documents via offers of proof, remembering that the rules of evidence don't apply. You don't have to have a law degree to come up here and present evidence to me. And if you're a victim and you have documents of your transaction, feel free to bring them forward. We want to see those. I want to see those. I want to see the documents. I want to see copies. I want to understand what you understood at the time of your transaction. It's very significant. But subsequent to the second step of getting documents in will be another round of testimony. I envision this round of testimony from non-victims, from state officials, from state employees, from private attorneys, from individuals who may have a direct or ancillary role in, let's call this the FRM matter. It's very significant. And this is probably where the subpoena process will be used, if at all. I suspect it will be used from time to time. And it is my hope that we can receive cooperation of legal counsel, and I would like very much to have Mr. Farrar and Mr. Dodge testify. Attorney Ramsdale has indicated that his client has been very cooperative throughout the entire process. Whether that can come to pass or not remains to be seen. That's how I envision this hearing process going forward. Remember that this process is going to be fluid. As individuals testify, primarily victims. As victims testify, we're going to learn things that may take us in a different direction than maybe we had a preconceived notion. That's significant. We're ready to do that. We're ready to go places that we may not envision now. It's also significant to note that we intend to run the hearings here in Concord, but there is a possibility that we may have hearings elsewhere in the state. I have thought in particular that it might be appropriate to hold a hearing in the town of Meredith. That remains to be seen. We have the ability to move the hearing process. If in fact it's appropriate, we're not going to just do that casually. Hopefully we're going to have enough room for everybody in this process. Today, I'm surprised at the number of people here today for this purely organizational meeting. I have a number of submittals. Having introduced that, I am going to ask Attorney Jeffrey Spill to introduce himself and some documents here today.
My name is Jeffrey Spill. I'm Deputy Director in Charge of Enforcement for the Bureau of Securities Regulation, State of New Hampshire. I understand that I'm going to play a role in presenting information to you, Mr. Chandler. Is that the way you want to address Mr. Chandler?
That's fine.
I'm also going to be presenting various witnesses. I gather that you'll want to call your own witnesses or ask witnesses to present. I understand that the lenders in this matter have a list of witnesses they'd like to hear from. So the way I envision the process to be, it's kind of more of information coming from a variety of sources. I guess I'll be the point person for the Bureau, so to speak, as overseen by the director. But today, you've asked for certain information, and I'd just like to clarify that I do have the reports that you've asked for along with additional information. That additional information would be the Bureau's response to the Legislative Committee report, collective comments to the Legislative Committee's report gathered by the legislature, and a DVD which contains the transcripts of the various hearings presented to the legislature on the various dates in May and June, and I think there's some dates following where they took testimony from a variety of individuals. So with that, I'd like to present that to you, sir.
Okay. What I'd like to do is to start with one at a time. You have the Bureau of Securities report on the FRM matter dated April the 22nd, 2010?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to list that as exhibit number one. And I am without a clerk today, but starting on November 3rd, there will be a clerk, so bear with me while I keep my own evidence list.
That was the question I was going to ask, was you wanted to keep the evidence log, you wanted us to...
For today, I will, but we have a limited amount of evidence that's coming in today.
Okay.
And the report that you are presenting, in your opinion, is a true and accurate report of that was issued under the signature of Mr. Connolly. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to accept the April 22nd, 2010 State Securities Bureau report overview submitted by then-Director Mark Connolly. The second item that I have asked for today to be introduced into evidence is the Department of Justice report of May 12, 2010, including Appendix A and B, Exhibit 5, and Department of Justice exhibits, and I would like those to be entered as one item.
Could I just have 1 minute?
Certainly.
This is the report, sir, and these are the exhibits.
Okay.
For the report.
And in your opinion, that's an accurate copy of those reports and exhibits?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the third item, and I would like this introduced as one item, bear with me, please. The third item in these first three pieces of evidence is the report of the Joint Committee. I understand that's characterized as, I believe, an interim report or preliminary report. Is that correct, Mr. Spill?
Proposed.
Proposed. Okay. And you have certain attachments to that from the Bureau, comments from the directed to the Legislative Committee.
Yes, sir.
And a DVD. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to mark that as Exhibit Number 3. And do you have every reason to believe that what you have is a fair and accurate representation of those items?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
There is a supplemental report by the Attorney General. I don't know. Do we have it here?
1 minute, please. That was
Joe. What was the date of that?
I don't know. I just know it exists.
If there is a supplemental report to any of the things that I have just marked as Exhibits 1, 2, or 3, I would like those to be entered also. I understand that the Joint Committee of the House and the Senate may very well issue a report sometime prior to the 1st of December. At the point of that issuance, I want to receive that also. I understand fully that this is a proposed or preliminary report from the Joint Committee. But assuming that gets completed, I think it's significant that that be introduced at that time.
And I think there's also a report from the Banking Commission, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I assume you would like that too, and we will later get that into evidence. We don't have it today, but we will get it.
Okay. And
provide it to you.
Okay. If there is a Banking Commission report, I would want that. But I think it's significant that the first three pieces of evidence are from the Bureau, the Department of Justice, and the Joint Committee. Okay. Are there any components to these three reports other than the possibility of the Department of Justice that I haven't received this morning?
That I don't know of.
Okay. Are we certain that there's a Department of Justice follow-up to this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I would like to accept that at the beginning of the November 3rd hearing. And I think the first two items of business on November 3rd would be the acceptance of the Department of Justice and banking. Understanding that on November 3rd, it is my intention to start hearing evidence and testimony from the victims in this process. We have our recording system, and again, aside from these three pieces of evidence, this is purely an organizational meeting. I don't intend to take testimony beyond this today, but I think it's significant to establish that we're going to use this as a basis from which we're going to grow this investigation. Between now and November 3rd, we're going to look into the availability of a clerk for me. Some kind of an evidence list or log. We're going to be certain that every victim receives a copy of the notice of investigative hearing that I read at the beginning with the phone number for Michelle Bourgeois. We'll create some kind of witness card so that when a witness appears to testify on any given day, I'm going to know who it is. We'll have Mr. Spill, Attorney Spill has his nameplate today. Anybody representing the Bureau, I want to have a nameplate so the witness knows who's sitting where. If there are any individuals in the investigative process for the Bureau for contact or discussion, I assume that you will continue your investigation. If in that process there's going to be a requirement for any kind of a subpoena, it is not necessary for the Bureau to wait until a hearing day to track me down to issue a subpoena. If there's a sufficient basis for issuing a subpoena, I will issue it. So I can do that as part of an administrative process.
What's the best way to contact you, sir?
Not too early in the morning at my home. Actually, yeah, I believe me, I'm dedicating the next few months to this process. So, yep, my home telephone number is
okay.
It's fine. That's absolutely fine. I am a retired attorney. I no longer have an office.
Any further instructions for us?
Do you have any questions for me? The Bureau have any questions for me as to what my view is?
I didn't have a question, but I did have a comment.
Okay.
I've created a preliminary list of witnesses, which I intend to interview and then sift through to determine who the Bureau should present.
Fine.
I've started that process. In terms of documentation, gathering the documentation is going to be, it may be difficult. The Nottinger firm is handling the bankruptcy, and they have a majority of the records. And I was made to understand yesterday that they are going to require a subpoena to take copies or to remove any records from their premises. That subpoena has to be put together and served. So I just wanted to put you on notice, or at least the record to reflect that at this juncture, I don't know what records we're going to have access to, because there are certain concerns of the bankruptcy trustee about its authority and its ability to hand over records.
That's understandable. Okay. Yeah. I thank you for that notice. I have set aside months to do this, and I'm not leaving the state. Okay. So.
And one other inquiry, sir, if I could. I understand that in the announcement of this hearing process, it was stated that the purpose of this process was not to plow old ground or go over old ground, but I just wanted to state for the record that I personally feel that at certain points, discussing old issues, issues that have been discussed before, and fully understanding those issues will allow you to fully understand and compile information with respect to new ground and how to draw conclusions with respect to all that information and what it really means. So I don't want to belabor old issues, if you will, and I understand why that was announced, but at times I am going to want to discuss old issues to have a full breadth of understanding of any new issues.
I'm fully open to that. I am fully open to that. And I'm also, just because that has been stated, I have, and if somebody has testified or been interviewed before by any agency or individual, in no way means they're going to be precluded from coming to this hearing. Plowing old ground, being unnecessarily repetitive, I think is what was intended, but no. I just because somebody has spoken, testified before another forum, doesn't mean that they're not going to have an opportunity here. They are. One of the reasons I agreed to take this position when the Secretary of State asked me was that he indicated that he felt that there were people who had not yet had an opportunity to be heard and were engaged in a very serious matter here. And I want people to be heard. I want everybody to think they have had their opportunity to be heard in this matter, and I want to understand fully what's going on. Remember, it's my job to come up with findings of fact, and those findings of fact are going to be used, hopefully, in proving the way the state of New Hampshire functions in these areas. And I'm going to work as diligently as it takes, and no, I'm not precluding anybody, and I'm more than open to that, Mr. Spill.
Thank you.
Director Long, I think there's one other area that we may try to get into a little bit, because as I indicated at the time of the announcement, this is becoming a national problem. And looking down to the legislative part of it, we may, if the hearing officer will allow us, or the presiding officer will allow us, we may bring in some people from other states so that we can formulate some kind of a policy as to how they're dealing with this issue for potential legislation here in New Hampshire.
I suppose if that's germane, I could be open to that. But remember what the focus of this hearing is. And as I said, I think earlier when I opened today, is this process is fluid. And I've outlined my vision. And it's going to change. It's absolutely going to change. You know, we've introduced three pieces of evidence today which are significant in this process. Taken collectively, these three pieces of evidence are very important. Followed by testimony from victims, that will be very important. And it sets up the evolutionary process of what's going to happen. Do we know exactly where this hearing is going to go? No, we don't. No, we don't, because we don't know what our witnesses are going to say. We don't know where they're going to lead us, and I know that we're going to go in certain directions that we yet now can't anticipate. That's good. That's healthy. We want to do that. So I'm prepared to do that, and it looks like there are many people who are prepared to cooperate in this process. Director Long, anything else?
That's fine. I have nothing.
Nothing further.
Nothing else. I have nothing further for today. Today was established as an organizational day for starting this process. The hearings are going to commence at 10 a.m. I come down from the little town of Warren, so it's not going to start at 9. It starts at 10 a.m., but they will go as long as necessary on any given day. If for any reason this room proves to be physically inadequate, I'm sure we can get the cooperation and move elsewhere. We will do that, but as I said, my intention is Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and if necessary, we'll go other days, and we may yet be in other venues also. So,
one final question there: the November 3 meeting, is your intent to be here?
Right here, And hopefully by that time, victims will have called Michelle Bourgeois. We will have an idea, and we will start taking testimony from the victims of the FRM matter on that day. And the hearings in earnest will be underway then. That is going to conclude the organizational meeting for today. Thank you very much. Thank those who attended. Done. Adjourned. Anybody know how to turn this off?
We have technical.